John, 1 John chapter 5 is where I need you this morning. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the chapter because it's what I want to look at. It's going to be, I want it all in context. I'm kind of in teaching mode today, so so there's going to be a lot of scriptures here, so I just want to prepare you. So we'll move pretty quick, but there's going to be a lot of scriptures to this. But let's read the chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, Father, again, thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be clear. And, Lord, we just ask your help and your blessing in the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the verse that I want to focus on, and it had to do with the questions that I asked you to give me out of the book of 1 John. I ask you to read it and give me any questions you might have. And one of the questions that came from more than one person was about verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So a lot of people get confused about this sin unto death, and it's the more disturbing when you see this sin unto death when it's talking about a believer, because we believe that we have eternal life, right? We believe in eternal security. So when we talk about a sin unto death and not praying for somebody in that regard. I mean, he doesn't forbid prayer. He says, I do not say that he should pray for it. But he's saying there's times when your prayer for an individual may be fruitless. Now, that's not necessarily for you to judge, but the point being is, it's put there in the scripture, and he talks about, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. So everybody says, what is this sin unto death? Verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And it's very important that we understand the context of all this, but just looking at the biblical context, when we look at the issue of this sin unto death and what it is, a lot of people are concerned about it and confused. And there are a bunch of different people that have come out with different, some rather odd understandings of it. But it's clearly talking about a believer here. He says a brother, okay? We don't call unbelievers our brethren. All right, unless we're speaking after the flesh. But this is not speaking after the flesh in that regard. So these are people that are called brothers in the Lord. And he talks about them. And so here he says that there is a sin unto death for a believer. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Right? And James 1:15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Alright? So we understand that. And in the Old Testament, it said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Alright? And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So when we look at the Scripture makes it clear that the end of sin is death. And it's talking specifically spiritual death there, not just physical death. Although that's included. So what is this sin unto death? What is this sin unto death? Well, the Bible has a lot of things to say about this sin unto death, but look at what it says. He says in verse 16, he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So he's talking about that, and he says, then he ends up and says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What he's talking about here is very clear. By the way, when he talks about he that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He's not talking about sinless perfection there. Alright, the Bible makes it clear that believers can sin, and there is a proper procedure, if you will, a proper response to sin in our life. And that is to forsake and confess our sin, to repent. And we're told that the churches at Revelation, the church at Ephesus, was told to repent because they had lost their first love. Or not lost, but left their first love. Excuse me. Left their first love. A lot of times we get those things up there. But it's not lost. You didn't lose it. You left it. All right? So they leave their first love, and they were told to repent and do the first works. or there was going to be a consequence. He was going to remove their candlestick. And there is no church at Ephesus. That church is gone. Even though it was a very good church. And so when we look at it, as we talk about a sin and a death, we look at this thing and we look at what he's talking about here. And he's talking about people. This sin unto death is talking about willful, continuous, presumptuous sin. It's talking about a Christian who has decided to embrace sin. Let me give you some examples of that from the scriptures. If you go to Acts chapter 5, in verse 1, we see a place where some people sinned unto death. And in the context of the early church, this did not take long. But because it was willful, open sin, it was a sin that was just willful in the face of God. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife came, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now they came in, and if you read Acts chapter 4, we find out in the last part of it that Barnabas came and he had land and he sold it and he brought all of that money and gave it to the apostles. He sold the land and he gave it as an offering to the Lord. And then Ananias and Sapphira came in and they bought the land and they conspired together and said, we're going to make it look like we're doing what Barnabas did. And we're giving everything to the Lord there, and we're going to do that, and we're going to, you know, and we're going to get the prestige and everything. And it backfired on them. It was presumptuous, willful sin to lie like that publicly. And so they came out, and God judged them immediately. Now, God doesn't always judge immediately in that regard, but there will be a judgment. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. A man was with his stepmother. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. By the way, I will show you that, notice that the emphasis and the responsibility here falls upon the man. And maybe this stepmother wasn't a believer, so who knows about her? Probably not a believer that would do this thing. And in this case, but this man was supposed to be a believer. He said, "And you're puffed up and are not rather mourned that he that done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And he goes on to say, he says, "Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you that not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." And if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it becomes pretty clear that this person was forgiven, if we assume that's the same person, that this person repented and was forgiven. But notice what they were told. They were saying, "Get him out. Turn him over to the devil." All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye?" So there's that talk about that destruction. Paul said if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul was talking about himself. And he said this in verses 24. In verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway." He talked in another place about Hymenaeus and another one. I can't remember the name, but he delivered them unto Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. People that had opposed him that were supposed to be Christians. And so we go talk about that. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He talks about if I can find my verses here. Starting in verse 20, he says this. He says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So they were making a mockery out of the Lord's Supper. And God and Paul said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. People were dying because of this. Because of their open mockery of the Lord's Supper, of the Lord's table. And so when they did that, so we see a lot of different examples of that. We see in the book of in the book of Jude, if you'll turn there, right before the book of Revelation, he says this. He said, in verse 4, he said, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And then he talks about the angels, and he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he talks about those things. But he's talking about, he uses Israel as an example of those that were supposed to be believers, but they were judged with physical death. And I understand the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, but still the parallel is there, the understanding is there. Matter of fact, if you go all the way back into the book of Numbers, if you'll turn to Numbers chapter 15 with me. Numbers chapter 15. And we're going to be starting in verse 27. Numbers 15 and verse 27, he's giving them things about the law here. And in verse 27, he says, And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. So even in the Old Testament, there was this understanding of willful and presumptuous sin had a consequence. And so when we talk about the sin of unto death, we are talking literally about a sin unto physical death, where a believer would be taken out of this world. Now, I know that's not very popular preaching these days, but it's in the Bible. And it talks about it. And it's part of church discipline. And it is a reality. Something that needs to be done in churches today in many cases. But notice, open fornication. They made a mockery of the Lord's Supper. He tells them, he warns us, if we go to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, At the end, he tells us to flee from idolatry. But notice what he does back in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Once again, we have another example from the Old Testament that is brought forward to us. Let me get there very quickly. He's warning them. He said, moreover, chapter 10, verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual drink, and did eat the same spiritual meat, excuse me, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people rose, sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Notice he tells them about idolatry. If we go back to our text in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, he warns them. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And he talks about the things about the difference between the witness of men and the witness of God. These people were being tempted to idolatry. That's why at the end of that he says, keep yourselves from idols. Idolatry is another sin that could lead to physical death. But generally we're talking about open, presumptuous, willful sin, where somebody has made the decision, I don't care what God says, I want to do what I want to do. People living in open sin and deciding that that's what they're going to do, and they're not concerned anything about the things of God, that's what we're talking about here. That's a sin unto death. That brings a physical death penalty. Paul worried about being a castaway. He kept under his body. We've seen examples in the New Testament clearly of death being a consequence of open sin. Whether it be by somebody committing some type of heinous sin, or people just deciding that they didn't care about the Lord's Supper and they were going to make a mockery of it. They go and they're going to eat all they want and drink all they want and get drunk, and they weren't going to take it seriously. It was just another party. We see that also in the book of James. If you want to turn back to the book of James, right after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 5. Verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him sing, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Notice, brethren, if any of you do err, believers, right? From the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. He's not talking about spiritual death there. He's not talking about eternal death. He's talking about physical death. That's the sin unto death. Notice it's linked to prayer. Notice the passage in First John chapter 5 follows immediately about prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And then it talks about, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And herein is the reality. You can pray for people, and God will be merciful to them. But if you have a person who is just absolutely willful and has willfully rejected the Word of God and basically told God, I'm doing this my way, I don't care about you anymore, there's a death penalty associated with that. It may be instant, it may be a while, but it's coming. And you can say all you want, well, everybody dies, preacher, everybody dies. But you know, have you ever noticed that people that willfully sin die faster in many cases? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed, and I would love to see a study on this, but I can tell you from, this is entirely anecdotal because it's my own experience. There's no scientific study. But I can honestly tell you that people that I have known that professed the name of Christ and willfully rejected what they previously said they believed and decided they were going to live openly in sin. There was no repentance. I'm not talking about people that were struggling with sin and trying to get right with God. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that basically said, I don't care anymore. I don't care what God has to say. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's that. And can a Christian get that way? Well, I've seen some that profess to be Christians that had led pretty good lives that end up that way. And you know what I've seen about them? Invariably, they die a lot sooner than they should have. And it may be through substance abuse. It may be through being places where they shouldn't be. In some cases, it just happens. But there is a sin unto death. This is not talking about somebody losing their salvation. This is talking about a person dying physically. This is talking about a person who has no desire to keep himself from wickedness. He says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In other words, he doesn't. It's, sin is not the goal of his life. He hadn't given himself over to it. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We're not talking about people that want to please God and are trying to keep the devil at arm's length. We're not talking about people that are yielding to the Spirit. We're talking about people that have become totally carnal and they yield themselves to the flesh. We're talking about people that are brazen and presumptuous in their sin. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's not a matter of moral failure. It's they've made a decision. And are there people like that in the world? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the message this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I know, Lord, that this is probably not the favorite subject of anybody here, but it's the Word of God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see it for what it is. Lord, if there's one in our midst that's close to this, I just pray you'd help them see. And I pray you'd open their eyes to the consequences that may come. Lord, I just ask your help in this regard for all of us. Lord, we need to understand the truth of your Word, and I just pray that you would help us to comprehend it the way we ought. And Father, we just thank you for being so patient with us. If we were honest and truthful about it, none of us deserve your mercy at all. We didn't deserve the first chance, much less a second, or a third, or a fourth. Lord, I just pray you'd work in every heart that nobody here would come to the point where they just decided that they were going to try to be happy in their sin and not care about the consequences and not care about the will of God. Help us to that end, we pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.